Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It has really felt like a three-ring circus kind of a week. It kind of feels like a three-ring circus kind of a morning. And this week coming up isn't necessarily getting any easier. Now here, I'm looking and going, ooh, covering All Saints. Ooh, covering the wake of Halloween. Ooh, covering an election coming Tuesday. Ooh, trying to tackle the Beatitudes as recalled by Luke. I think the sermon this morning could potentially go like an hour to an hour and a half if I tried to cover all that. Are we all good with that? Hour, hour and a half? You got an hour and a half waits? Margie is the first to shake her head and say no thank you. So the option was I try to cover all of it or I zoom in and really try to get to the point of this morning and the message that God desires. Now I tell you, it was a three-ring circus kind of a week, and it started really at the very beginning of the week. And many of you have heard this, and many of you have not. But the beginning of this week, Monday, my day off, ended with me here at the church at 10:45 at night, meeting the wonderful servants of the Torrance Police Department after discovering that somebody had broken into the church and was utilizing the kitchen and the stuff in the fridge and sleeping here, potentially the last month he's been here. Well, I have to tell you, he was caught in the alley and stayed there, and I stayed in the front of the church with a few officers that I made friends with over the next few hours of the evening. But there was a lot of wrestling that was going on and in my heart and in my soul and in my head during that time I stood outside of the church, wondering about this man sitting in handcuffs in the back of a police car after taking refuge inside the church. And I tried to wonder about what his situation was. What was it that brought him to the point where he was willingly breaking into a church to be able to eat and to sleep? Watching on our new video cameras, some of you may have noticed that there's a camera in the hallway and a camera in the social hall now that appeared this week, which is how I found out that there was somebody sleeping here. So yes, you're being recorded when you enter, but as soon as I see it's a friendly face, I'm deleting the footage. But here on it, I saw this man with two trash bags that seemed to be his worldly possessions. Here was a man that was truly without. And while I stood in front of the church, anxious, stressed, and scared by this situation, thinking about all the possibilities that could have happened, all of the dangers that could have been there, all of the damage that could be done, all of things that could have been lost, and in so many ways could focus on me and where I needed God to be. But then I look at this text this morning, and God isn't saying that I, in the front of the church, with my warm clothes as it was a chilly night, my car I was about to get back into, and my house that I was about to drive home to, was not the one who Jesus promised was blessed. But if we look at this text, Jesus is not the Sermon on the Mount, as Luke calls it and we so often read, but the Sermon on the Plain that's slightly different in its wording. Jesus would say, Anthony, the man in handcuffs, the man in the back of a police car, a man so lacking that he'd been sleeping in a church, by Jesus' definition, is blessed. You see, in the sermon that Jesus preaches, Who does Jesus say is blessed? He doesn't talk about followers of the law. He doesn't talk about people with faithful hearts. He doesn't talk about the people who have it all together and are doing just what they should be. But Jesus here in this sermon preaches that the people who are blessed are the people who are poor. Now we notice in Luke, unlike Matthew, it doesn't say those who are poor in spirit, it says those who are poor. And unlike Matthew, it doesn't say those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, it just says blessed are those who hunger now. It says blessed are those who weep now. Blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, insult you, and reject your name as evil. Jesus is really saying those who are without, those who are empty, those who are down are the one who are blessed. To me, I read this and see that blessed are those who are ignored, rejected, spit upon, invisible, lost, alone, and totally empty. I wondered about that. This idea of being totally empty and without, and why that would be a place of being blessed. And what in the world is the lectionary thinking this has to do with All Saints Sunday? And then I thought about Jesus. I thought about Jesus when Jesus went to the cross. And in the Greek, what does it say? But what did Jesus do? But this Greek word of kenosis. And what does this Greek word of kenosis mean that Jesus was doing on the cross? But that Jesus was totally emptying himself. That on that cross, he was becoming someone who had nothing left. And why was he completely and totally emptying himself? So that he could become entirely receptive to God's will. Why are those without? Those who are poor and hungry and rejected and grieving and down and out and in the darkest and deepest of places, blessed. Because when you are in places of without, it leaves you open to be able to receive. So what happens for us? Us who have, what do we learn from this? Well, think about the last time you sat down at a restaurant, which at this point, a lot of us might not even remember what it's like to sit down at a restaurant. But I think about particular restaurants that are extremely attentive to who they're serving. I'm thinking about those places where it seems like every time you take a sip of your water, somebody is there to put more water back in. Do you know what those kind of restaurants are that I'm talking about and those kinds of servers? Where eventually you get so filled with water that you have to tell them to stop putting it in. But they don't want you to be without. When they see that you are lowering the level of your cup, they just see it needs to be filled. So how do we become like that cup? Where we are emptying ourselves in such a way that God is ready and able to fill us up. To fill us up with hope and love and life. To fill us up with what God has, not what this world has. When we find ourselves poor and meek and grieving, part of what it does is it makes us vulnerable and open to God's Spirit and presence to be with us. I was thinking about so many of those saints that I've learned from. So many of those times that sitting by the hospital bed, watching somebody live their last hours and minutes of their lives. I think about those times that I've been there just after passing. I've thought about those times sitting with families that are grieving. I've thought about those times that I've sat planning services and talking about the loved one. And I've thought about those times during the service and graveside and time after. And I thought about everything I have learned from those saints. Every time that in those broken-hearted, empty, and grieving moments that God has swept in and built that saint into me to grow through God. I've learned to laugh more. Thank you, Joan Huber. I've learned to trust more, to hug more, to sing more, to eat more, to gather with family more, to love more, to listen more, and to appreciate the beauty of all that God has given us more. Because these saints that have gone before us, they have taught us how to be blessed. They have showed us how we can open ourselves to be available for God's Spirit to break in. And so I challenge you this week, as we think about our personal saints that God has blessed us with, those who we wish we could just get one more minute with, and how do we use that as an inspiration to seek, like Jesus, to empty ourselves, to remove everything that is providing for us as much as everything that is burdening us, and to get us to the place of complete emptiness so that God can fill us. You see, an empty is the place of being ready to be filled. The sanctuary is empty. It's ready to be filled. The church is empty, but it's waiting to be filled. Is your heart nearing the place of being empty so God can fill it? My friends, will you pray with me? God, you are a God who likes to turn things on its head. The one who likes to speak of the poor and the marginalized and the hungry and the grieving as blessed. People we would never look at and say are blessed, but we are not you. You turn the rules on their heads, telling us to love enemies and to give grace where grace should not be. You turn the world on its head, letting us know that you are a miracle worker, that you are ever present, and that you are constantly surprising us in what you do. Help us this week to honor our saints. And as we honor our saints, and not only as we grieve in their passing, not only as we long to see them again and miss them, but may we also learn from them. And may through their memory we find ourselves filled with your Holy Spirit that fills those empty spaces that they have left. For all of this, Lord, is yours. As we hear the words of your Son and our Savior, and as we put them into practice in all of our lives, for this we pray in your name. Amen.